right, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us this morning here at my house at Cypress Center. My name is Dave Everett, and I'm going to be starting a brand new series this morning entitled The Lord's Release. And so we'll get into that in just a moment. Just so you know, all of our teachings are archived on our website at lighthouseofcypresship.org, as well as our YouTube channel, Lighthouse of Cypress Center. We also want to say thank you to all those who have partnered with us with your tithes and your offerings and your contributions. And in case you're wondering how to do so, you can simply go to our website again at lighthouseofcypresship.org, and on the top right corner says Give. It's a blue button, and you can give them anywhere around the world. All right, let's go ahead and jump on into our message this morning. This is a new series, new message. I'm not sure if I'm going to do 2 weeks, 3 weeks, or how long this will go. It feels like it's going to be somewhat of a short series versus some of my others. And this is actually something I've never taught on before, specifically. Many of the verses I'm going to use, I have definitely used, and they're going to be more supporting verses today. But this concept has been on my heart for a while. I've been wanting to teach this for a while, and so this just seemed to be like the right time to do it, so that's what we're going to do this morning. So, this title, The Lord's Release, there's things that God wants to release out of our lives, including debt, sin, addiction, shame, and even unforgiveness, grudges, many other things, and we'll come across those as we go forward. But there's things that God wants to release in our lives, and the main scripture that brings this concept out. That's going to be our main scripture throughout the series, but it's also a springboard to many other topics underneath this umbrella of the Lord's release, because there's things that God wants to release in our lives besides what will specifically be covered in this passage of scripture. Okay, so hopefully that makes sense, and hopefully it make more sense as we go forward. So with that, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 15. Deuteronomy chapter 15, this is where our key passage of scripture is going to be found, and we're going to use this as a text itself, but also the springboard to where we're going to go throughout this teaching. Okay, so the Lord's release. So, Deuteronomy 15, we'll begin at verse 1, and it says, "And at the end of every 7 years, you shall grant a release of debts, and this is the form of the release, quorum. Every creditor who has lent anything to his neighbor shall release it. He shall not require of it of his neighbor or his brother, because it is called the Lord's release." So the title of this message is not something I just came up with. It's called the Lord's release. Okay. Now, this passage of scripture is specifically talking about debts, and we're going to be talking about that. But since we're on that topic real quick, God, if you're in debt, whether that be debt of sin, debt of finances, whatever kind of debt you're in, and specifically they're talking about finances, because they're talking about creditors and whatnot, okay? God wants you to be debt free. God wants to release you of being debt free. Now, this is, keep in mind, this is coming from Deuteronomy, the Pentateuch, the law, okay? Old Testament law. And you're like, Pastor Dave, what are you talking about Old Testament law for? I thought we're New Testament grace. Yes. You got to keep in mind that Christ is concealed in the Old Testament, but he's revealed in the New Testament. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when you read the law meaning, when I talk about the law, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, that's considered the law, the Pentateuch, okay? And so, Christ is there. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus told the Pharisees, "You search the scriptures, well, they testify of me." The scriptures, all scriptures, testify of Jesus. Okay? There's an Old Testament principle that was in the law, but it's also, there's a message of grace here. When someone owes you money and you release that debt, that's called grace. Okay? And so there's grace here, okay? The law itself is not grace, but there's some principles of where we're going to hear God's heart. And God wants you to be forgiven, and he wants you to forgive others, Okay? And so, now, let me just give some support to some of this, too. Now, this is talking about the Lord's release, and we're gonna talk about this some more. But this is very similar to Jubilee that we could read in Leviticus chapter 25. Jubilee was every 50 years. This is every 7 years. This is more frequent. This is, okay? And so, and in Jubilee, debts were forgiven. Land was restored. Slaves were released. Families were reunited. And there was a full restoration, okay? And all Jubilee, and most people don't have an issue with this, is that it points to Jesus. Because Jesus is our Jubilee, and Jubilee is our release. Okay? And so, it all points to Christ. But one thing I like about this one, called the Lord's Release versus Jubilee, and I love both of them, and I can preach hours on this and point this to Christ all day long. Okay? But this was more frequent. This was every 7 years. Okay? This was systematic. Okay? If you're going to lend to someone, you only have 7 years. Okay? And so anyway, that takes a whole other picture. We're not going to get economical about this. Okay? But it was this specifically was a release of debt. Okay? And if this is so powerful in the Old Testament, just think of how much powerful we are in the new covenant of grace through Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay? The Lord's release, very similar to Jubilee, paints a picture of our redemption that we have in Christ. Okay? The Lord's release, along with Jubilee, lets us hear the heart of God. Because God's heart is being explained, is being demonstrated in this command, if you will, because we're talking about the law, of how we are to release one another. If we are to release one another under the law, how much more are we supposed to release one another under grace? Okay? God wants to set people free. That's the heart of God. And if God wants to set people free, he wants you to set people free. Okay? And he wants you to be free. God wants to release people. He wants to release people's spirit, soul, and body. He wants to release people financially. He wants to release people relationally. He wants to release people physically from any sickness or disease so that you have our experience wholeness. He wants to release people from addictions. He wants to release people from depression. He wants to release people from oppression. Okay? In my last series, my Easter message that I did, that took a three-week message, I talk about how we are to reckon ourselves dead to sin and alive to God. I talk about the resurrection and the life, and how the cross, we were completely set free from sin. And we'll keep teaching on that. We'll be teaching on that this morning, too. But we are also not just set free from sin, but we are also redeemed from every curse that came from that sin, which includes death. Now, you might say, well, we're in debt because we got ourselves in there. Yes, and you were in sin because you got yourself in there. Okay? But it's called the gospel. It's called the grace. It's talked about. It's called salvation. Okay? It's called about the mercy and grace of God. Jesus is our resurrection, and he is our life. And keep in mind, we're talking about deaths here specifically, but there's many things that also are part of the Lord's release from a new covenant standpoint that we need to remember. Because he who the Son sets free shall be free indeed. I've already commented on this, but Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Because of our sins, the law cursed. We were cursed. And Christ did not just set us free from the sin, but he has redeemed us from every curse of the law, including debts. And in the midst of the law, we have this thing called Jubilee. In the midst of the law, we have this thing called the Lord's release. Okay? And so, God's grace, Jesus is the same. God has never changed. Okay? We are in a better covenant. Okay? But I'm also talking this morning not just about debt release, even though I will be talking about that, but I'm talking about the perfect law of liberty. It's the law of liberty. There's three major laws in the New Testament. We have the royal law of love, we have the law of faith, and we have the law of liberty. And I've taught all three of these at length from time to time. It's a law. We're not talking about a Levitical law where we have to obey it to be saved. No. It's a law like the law of gravity. Okay? You might not believe in the law of gravity, but you just try stepping off a cliff or a tall building or the roof of your house, and you, whether you believe in the law of gravity or not, it works for everybody everywhere in time. Okay? The law doesn't grade on the curve. Those laws don't work whether you believe it or not. I mean, they work whether you believe it or not, so they're backwards. It's a law of liberty. And it's for everybody, everywhere, every time. Okay? And it's a perfect law of liberty. Okay? We're not being set free to sin, we're set free from sin. We're not set free from debt to go back into debt, we're set free from debt to stay out of debt. And sometimes there's selfish reasons and greedy reasons why we got into debt. I'm talking about financial debt right now. But sometimes there's situations that we're out of our control. And we find ourselves in a pit, and we don't know how to get out, especially in the economy. Okay, but we have the grace of God called the Lord's release, and God wants to set you free. And he who is the Son set free shall be free indeed. And we talked at length the last 2 or 3 weeks about how we need to reckon ourselves in deep debt to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. And we spent a lot of time in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. But if you continue to read to verse 22, excuse me. But now, and what's now? Now. Having been set free from sin, and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and in everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. There's a lot I can elaborate on this passage of scripture. We could spend all day on this one. But now have we been set free from sin. There's many things I can elaborate on. But we have eternal life through Jesus Christ. Yes, the wages of sin is death. And that's why Jesus died a death. That he died for you. Spiritually speaking. So that you can have eternal life. Because we are wrecking ourselves indeed dead to sin. We already died. If we're in Christ, we already died. Our old man already died. We were crucified with Christ. We were buried with him in baptism. And we are now alive to God in Christ Jesus. And we need to reckon that to be so. That's the gospel. That's the truth. Okay? And that's what happened. Okay? And I'm just going to quote my favorite verse. I'll always tie this in here. But he who made no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Through the cross, our sins were expunged because Jesus became our sin. And our sins were expunged. They were crucified on Jesus Christ. And through the resurrection, we are made right relationship with God because he was raised before our justification. The word justification, the word righteousness, is the exact same word. And some of you might be listening and you're hearing this word justification, righteousness, and fancy words. What does that mean? It means you are in a right relationship with God because of what Jesus did on the cross. Okay. A.W. Tozer said it this way, the only sin Jesus ever had was ours. And the only righteousness we can ever have is his. Okay. In other words, we don't get a clean slate upon being born again, and then we just do our best. No, from there on out, on your own. No, we are given. It's a gift. We are given the righteousness of God. We are given the right relationship with God because of what Jesus did. Okay? The proof of that is that Jesus rose from the grave. And we talked about that the last 3 weeks. Okay? The righteousness of God in Christ, it's our superpower, if I can put it that way. And if anyone knows about me, I love talking about righteousness because there's so much that comes with that. grace sets you free from sin, but grace also empowers you not to sin again. No. We who are dead to sin, we don't live any longer therein. And that's Romans chapter 6, verse 2. Okay? But again, as A.W. Tozer always said, the only sin Jesus ever had was ours, and the only righteousness we can ever have is his. There is nothing you can do on your own that makes you right before God. The only thing you can do is hear the gospel, believe in Jesus, believe that he rose from the grave, that he rose for your justification, and you just say, I thank you, I believe, I receive. And then you spend the rest of your Christian life renewing your mind, renovating your mind of who you are in Christ, so that Christ who's in you now can live through you. 1 John 4:9 says it this way, that his love for us was manifested in this, that we might live our life through him. We're not on our own trying to live it out. A lot of people say, well, we have to live out our salvation with fear and trembling. Well, whenever you quote that from Philippians, you didn't finish the sentence because it says, let me turn there real quick. I want to quote it, but I just had a brain freeze. So let me just quote it real quick from Philippians chapter 2. Okay, pick up verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but not much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, comma. Verse 13, for it is God who works in you both to will and do of his good pleasure. How do we work out our salvation with fear and trembling? It's God who has at work in you. You're not doing it by yourself. If you can work out your own salvation with fear and trembling without God, that's called self-righteousness. And that's telling me you can be saved without Jesus. That's not true. That's Antichrist. Okay? And so, the only way that we can be saved is through the gift of righteousness by faith. You can't earn it. You can't fight for it. You can't perform for it. You can only receive it. It says in Ephesians, I'm getting ahead of myself, but in Ephesians it says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. He gave himself for her. That he might sanctify and cleanse her. He cleansed her. She didn't cleanse herself. With the washing of water by the word, that he might present her. He presented her to himself, a glorious church. She didn't present herself. He did it. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she should be holy without blemish. Who made her holy? He did. Okay? And if you fast forward to the end of the section, end of the chapter, Paul said, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. It's a beautiful story of how a marriage should be, but he's talking about Christ and the church. Jesus sanctified and cleansed us. He presented us to himself. He did the work. We have to participate. He didn't force it on us. He didn't mandate it. He's working in us the will to do of his good pleasure. She had to be there. She had to let him cleanse her and make her whole. Okay? So we're talking about this morning, I want to bring it back, we're talking about the Lord's release. Yes, the springboard is talking about finances, and we're going to deal with that. We're going to talk about that. But there's much more to this Lord's release than just the finances. When we bring in the whole counsel of God, the whole Word of God. Okay? But I want to use this springboard. I'm talking about the Lord's release because God wants to set you free. He started with sin. But how many know sin has had its effects? And it's still in our system in a sense. It's in our mind, it's in our world. And we need to renew our mind. That we are dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. God wants to set you free. He wants to set you free from sin. He wants to set you free in your hearts. He wants to set you free in your souls. He wants to set you free in your emotions. He wants to set you free from anxiety. He wants to set you free in your health, in your body. He wants to set you free from depression. He wants to set you free from addiction. He wants to set you free from oppression. He wants to set you free from fear. He wants to set you free from shame. He wants to set you free from debt. Okay? Debt of all kinds. Jesus said it this way to his disciples. He says, and let your heart not be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Some of you, some of the list that I just gave, your heart's troubled. Some of your hearts are troubled. Your hearts are troubled in your emotions from anxiety, from depression, from things that have hurt you, from people who have hurt you. Your heart is troubled because of sin and addictions that you just can't shake it. You just can't. People tell you to stop it and you just can't on your own. Because so temperance, self-control is not the food of the flesh, it's the food of the spirit. True, you're not yielding to the spirit. Okay? Some of you have fear, anxiety to the max. And he wants to set you free. Some of you are just drowning in debt. He wants to set you free. Some of you have grudges and unforgiveness in your heart. And he wants to set you free. It's called the Lord's release. Okay? He wants your heart not to be troubled. Believe in God. Believe in Jesus. Okay? For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. It's called the Lord's release. For he will keep in perfect peace, he whose mind is stayed upon him, because he trusts in you. It's called the Lord's release. Jesus wants to live free, either live free on this earth. Free of sin, free of anxiety, free of health problems, free of addiction, free of depression, free of oppression, free of fear, free of shame, and free of debt. God wants you just to be free. Because he who the Son set free shall be free indeed. Jesus came, God. Jesus did not create the earth and create life so we would be in bondage to all these things. Jesus came to set us free. And many of us are living anything but that. And it's time to experience the Lord's release. Some of you are living like the cross did nothing. And we should be testifying, being a witness of how Jesus set us free. Not just from sin, but all the effects of sin, including debt, among many things. God doesn't want you just to survive, he wants you to thrive. I already quoted from John 14:1, but let's go to 14:9. Jesus said to him, I have been with you so long. And yet you have not known me, Philip. He who has seen me has seen the Father. Why did I bring that up? Because, and, you know, Jesus wants you to be set free. And you know when Jesus had his earthly ministry? It was 3.5 years before he went to the cross. He went about preaching. He went about teaching. And he went about healing people. He was always on the lookout to set somebody free before he went to the cross. He set so many people free. Whether it be sickness, or being demon possessed, or whatever the case would be, he set people free. He set the lady who was caught in adultery free. He set the woman at the well free. He set people free. And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Why do I bring that up? Because setting people free, it's the heart of God. And so many religious people have hurt so many people by shoving the gospel. They're not preaching the gospel, they're preaching religion down their throat. Do I want people to be set free from sin? Yes. But it's the goodness of God that will set people free, that will cause people to repent. Not your fire and brimstone messages. Not your condemnation. Because what you're preaching is bondage, not the gospel that sets people free. People need to be free. Okay? And we need to preach the whole gospel, the full gospel. It says in Isaiah, excuse me, speaking to the Messiah, speaking of Jesus, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Does that sound like freedom to you? Okay? And the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Freedom! To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, Jubilee, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. Freedom? Comfort? Okay? To console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for the mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness. There's that word again. The planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. How you know that God is glorified when you are doing well? He's not glorified when you are suffering. When you're suffering with sin, or you're suffering with anxiety, or you're suffering with a health problem, or you're suffering with debt, or depression, or addiction. God's not glorified. God is glorified when you get free from whatever is keeping you down. Excuse me, I rebuke this cough. I need to be free from this cough. Let's go to Luke 13. Luke chapter 13. You know what? I didn't finish this. Let me finish this real quick. Isaiah 61. And they shall rebuild the old ruins, and they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. You know God wants to set you free from shame? You're like, but I deserve it, Pastor Dave. We all deserve hell. But instead of shame, God wants to give you double honor. Somebody needs to hear that today. Okay? Instead of confusion, some of you are just confused. They shall rejoice in their portion, therefore in the land they shall possess double. God doesn't want to just set you free. He wants to give you double of what you lost. But I don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. It's called grace. It's called mercy. Okay? He's a God of more than enough. He's El Shaddai, not El Chipo. Okay? He's the Lord your God. Believe in God, believe also in Jesus. Luke 13. Now, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity, 18 years she had this thing, and was bent over and could no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to himself, to her, "Woman, you are loose from your infirmity." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. I'll come back to this. Okay, I think I have it in my notes here. Verse 14. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation. He was not happy because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, as if healing is a work. And he said to the crowd, there are 6 days in which man ought to work. Therefore come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath day. But Lord Jesus then answered and said, hypocrite. I mean, Jesus just cut it to the chase. Okay? Does not each of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loose when the bond was bought on the Sabbath? This word loose is used 3 times in this passage. If you study the word loose, and I know this is Greek, but if you study this word loose and compare it with the Hebrew word release that's used in Deuteronomy 2, it's the same word. There's special resources that you can do that, use that, and I use them often, many times, to compare the Hebrew and the Greek. It's the same language, the same word. Okay. But let's go back here real quick. Let's go here. 18 years. Jesus came and loosed her, released her from this infirmity. 18 years. Some of you, you've had something plague you longer than that. Some of you shorten. He says, you're released from it. 18 years. This just became a way of her life, and she comes to church one day, and Jesus is there and sets her free. And yet the pastor is mad. It's the Lord's release. It glorifies God. It glorifies God, and the ruler went mad. Something's wrong with that, okay? It glorifies God when you are healed. It glorifies God when you are whole. It glorifies God when you are free. It glorifies God when you receive provision and are no longer debt. In debt. It glorifies God when you are saved. And Jesus is right for calling this man a hypocrite. We'll release our donkey, but we won't release one another. He says, think about it. Satan had bound her. This thing didn't come from man. This was not her fault. This was Satan doing. She came to church. She should be healed. Release. Our life should change when we come to church. Or we encounter the church in the workplace or whatever it might be. He said, ought not this woman being a daughter of Abraham? She didn't do anything to earn this. She just was a daughter of Abraham. And we are a child of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. We should be being set free because we are a child of God. There's too many among us, folks, who are sick, who are in debt, who are suffering, and we think it's just normal living. No, it's normal dying. Normal Christianity was when Jesus walked the earth and he healed everybody he came in contact with that he could, unless there was no faith there, because there were some communities, there were some towns, there were some establishments where he couldn't do much because, like this religious ruler who was indignated because someone got healed at his church. So Satan bound this woman. Satan was holding her back. What's holding you back? What's holding you from doing what God's called you to do? Some of you have had dreams and desires, but something had bound you from fulfilling those dreams and those purposes in your life. In this case, healing glorified God. Healing loosed her from just being bound. And something you've been bound too long. And not only is your sickness and disease bounding you, but your whole family's been suffering because of what you're going through. They love you. And they would move mountains for you. They do it out of love, but they've been suffering all this time just as you. And maybe not as much as you, sometimes even more than you. It depends on what the case is. And they do it out of love, but if you get healed, that you all get free. Debt not only restrains you, but it restrains many people. And we're going to expound on that in just a moment. Jesus said she should be released. She's more valuable being a daughter of Abraham than an ox or a donkey. Think about it. And I want to encourage you, church, to think about this. Think about how God wants to release. And more importantly, and in one sense, more importantly, because our main scripture from Deuteronomy, which we're going to go back to in just a moment, he wants you to release others. Because you're a child of God. You are the church. You are the body of Christ. Jesus said, when you see me, you see the Father. When people see you, they should see Jesus. We are witnesses of Christ. Everything I'm talking about is talking about the Lord's release. Even throughout his ministry, it says in the book of Acts that how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit, with the power who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. But God was with them. Is God with you? Is God with us? Then who are we loosening? Who are we setting free? It's twofold. God is the one who's going to set you free, but God's also going to use you to set other people free. It's powerful. It's called the church. It's called the Lord's release. I'm hoping I'm making sense. I'm not trying to get anyone's cases this morning. I'm trying to wake us up. It's called a great awakening. It's time to wake up. Let's go back to our main text, Deuteronomy chapter 15. Excuse me. At the end of every 7 years, you shall grant a release of debts. And this is the form of a release. Every creditor who has lent anything to his neighbor shall release it. This is talking about something you and I should be doing. He shall not require it of his neighbor or his brother because it is called the Lord's release. There's something about the heart of God here. But there's something about the heart of the church here too. Just because God releases our debts, and the greatest debt of all is our sin, and Jesus said, finances are the least of the things that we can trust God in. Releasing finances from people should be the least thing that you should be able to let go. We need to be releasing one another. And some of the debt has nothing to do with finance. Some of it's just a grudge or unforgiveness because someone's done you harm. You need to learn to forgive 70 times 7. There's only one time the disciples ever asked Jesus to increase our faith, and that's when he was talking about forgiveness. It can take more faith to forgive one another than it can be to raise the dead. I'm not trying to get people's cases. I'm trying to waken it up. I want you to be free. But I also want God to use you to free others. Do you know Most battles, most wars started because of some conflict among families or whatever. And you know how liberating it will be if you just simply let it go and forgive? How beautiful it is when people forgive one another and reconcile. God's given us the ministry of reconciliation. I'm going off my notes right now. That's our ministry. But let's go on. Verse 3. Of a foreigner you may require it. Require what? He's talking about debt. From a foreigner, it's okay to require them to pay the debt. But you shall give up your claim to what is owed by your brother in the church, in the family of God. Okay? I mean, this goes back to the woman being a daughter of Abraham. By being a daughter of Abraham, she had a right to experience the Lord's release. I'm not going to go too heavy on this, okay? She had a covenant right to be released. But can you also see the picture here? Of a foreigner, you may require it, but you shall not give up a claim to what is owed by your brother, except when there may be no poor money. There's a picture being painted that we can actually get to a place where there's none of us who are poor. Something tells me that we saw this one time in the book of Acts, where there was no needy among them, and the church grew. Can you imagine that? No one being in debt. I think there's something to be said here. I'm not going to spend a lot of time with this, but it's good. It painted that picture. God's plan is for everyone to be blessed. God's plan is that everybody is debt-free. Now, I'm not preaching socialism. To anyone who's thinking I'm preaching socialism, that's not what I'm preaching here. Not even close. I'm preaching Christianity. I'm preaching the Word of God. Go on. For the Lord will greatly bless you. There's a blessing when we release one another. I want to say that again. There's a blessing, there's a great blessing when we release one another. When we release one another, God responds. Well, now you're talking about works and performance. No, I'm talking about, it's called the law of sowing and reaping. Okay. It's called the Lord's release. That's what we're talking about. Okay. In the land which the Lord your God has given you to possess as an inheritance. Verse 5. Only if you carefully obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe with care all these commandments which I command you today, for the Lord your God will bless you just as he promised you. You shall lend to many nations, you shall not borrow. We've seen that many times in the Word of God. But we're supposed to be a lender, not a borrower. You shall reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over you. If there is among you a poor man of your brethren, within any of the gates in your land, which the Lord your God has given you, you shall not harden your heart nor shut your hand from your poor brother. That's a strong exhortation, okay? Excuse me, verse 8. But you shall open your hand wide to him and willingly lend him sufficient for his need. That's been missing in many circles. Whatever he needs, beware lest there be a wicked thought in your heart saying, the seventh year, the year of the release is at hand, and your eye being evil against your poor brother, and you give him nothing. And he cry out the Lord against you, and it becomes a sin among you. This is pretty heavy. Okay? Verse 10. You shall surely give to him, and your heart should be not grieved. God loves a cheerful giver. Isn't that in the New Testament? when you give it to him, because for this thing the Lord God will bless you in all your works and in all to which you put your hand. There's a blessing here. It's called the Lord's release. And when we release one another, God releases the storehouses of heaven, basically. There's a blessing that goes with that. There is a supernatural blessing attached to the Lord's release. How many of you know that when God is your source, it doesn't matter how much you release, there's more where it comes from. Because this is not about performance, religion. This is about trusting God and trusting His Word. Because when you trust God as your source, and you release one another as the scriptures were portraying, and you do it out of grace, and you trust God in doing that, when you trust God with the Lord's release, because you're the one releasing, there's a blessing attached to that. Because it's not about you obeying God, even though that word's here. It's about trusting God. Trusting His Word. Trusting His release. And God is, He is faithful to His Word. How many of you know that God honors His Word above His name? When you trust God and when you trust His Word, He will honor His Word above His name. It's not about performance. It's not about religion. It's about trusting God. And when you trust God in the Lord's release, He will honor that trust. And He will bless you. But this day the Lord your God will bless you in all your works in which you put your hand. And when you release, God will restore you and them better than you could ever do on your own. But some of us have debts that are due owed to you that you're holding back on one another. It could be financial debt. It could be forgiveness. It could be depression. You're just holding on to that thing that's, maybe it's a victim mentality. Church, what I'm trying to paint a picture right now is, there are some things, church, you need to let go. And when you let go, there's a blessing that will come. Because you let go and you let God. It's called the Lord's release. I'm not preaching religion at you. I'm trying to get you free. Let things go. Let go and let God. It's called the Lord's release. Folks, what I'm preaching right now is very powerful. And the thing that's holding back your blessing is that you won't let it go. I'm trying to set you free. Because if you're holding back on one another, you're not free. You're in bondage. You might not know it. You might not realize it. But you need to be set free. When you release, when you give what God tells you to give, there will be a supernatural blessing that follows it. Let's go to 2 Kings. The book of 2 Kings, chapter 4. I want to talk a little bit more about this debt release. 2 Kings chapter 4. God wants no one in debt. Okay? Alright. 2 Kings chapter 4, we'll pick up verse 4. A certain woman in the of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord." And the creditor, so there's a debt going on, is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves. That was very customary back in the day. You could pay off your debt. Sometimes a father, mother, or kids had to become slaves. That's how that worked. So Elisha said to her, What shall I do for you? Don't you just love our prophets sometimes, Old Testament prophets? They were a little rough around the edge sometimes. What should I do for you? You know, there's a lot here about what that, but one thing that I do glean from that, though, is Elisha was not her answer. God was. Okay? But he responds, "Tell me, what do you have in the house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil." And so, what do you have in the house? What do you have? See, her response was, "I don't have anything, I have nothing but a jar of oil." You know, I believe Elisha was trying to paint a picture of what do you have versus focus on what you don't have. See, most of us today, and I see this on Facebook all the time, many of us have a lack mentality. We don't have this, and we don't have that, and we don't have this, and we don't have that. We can't do this because we don't have that. We can't do this because this person did this to me. And we have a lack mentality. And Elisha wasn't asking what she didn't have. He was asking what she did have. Isn't that what Jesus asked the disciples? When he fed the multitudes twice, what do you have? Isn't that what Jesus did with Peter when he was fishing? Cast your net on the other side. Isn't that what Jesus did when he turned the water to wine? He asked, "What do you have?" Well, all we have is water. That's all he needed. We need to change our mentality from a lack mentality. All I have is this oil. Where that oil was all she needed. See, church, we are not, many of us are we're not just living from the bottom of the barrel. We have a mindset. We expect to live from the bottom of the barrel versus the top of the barrel. We have a bottom-of-the-barrel attitude. We have the bottom-of-the-barrel attitude financially. We have a bottom-of-the-barrel attitude emotionally. We have the bottom-of-the-barrel attitude physically. We have the bottom-of-the-barrel attitude relationally. And many of us have the bottom-of-the-barrel attitude vocationally. If we're in Christ and we have a good relationship with God, we should have a different attitude. That we have Jesus, and through Jesus we can do anything God has called us to do. We can be anything God has called us to be. We don't have to be emotionally a wreck. We don't have to be financially in debt. We don't have to be physically sick. And we don't have to be relationally and vocationally without. We can live on the top of the battle. We need to change. What I'm trying to paint a picture, folks, is that we need to change our attitude. We need to change our focus. Well, I only have a jar of oil. It might not seem like much. But church, if the Spirit of God, Him who raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. If Jesus lives in you, if the same Spirit who raised Christ from the dead lives in you, you have enough to do what God has called you to do to set you free. It's called the Lord's release. Okay. We need that thanksgiving. We need that God is a God of multiplication. Okay. Let's go back to Kings. And then he said to her, go borrow vessels. She said, all I have is oil. That's all he needed. She said, he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere. From all your neighbors. Empty vessels. And do not gather just a few. Don't be chintzy on this thing. Go everywhere. And don't grab just a few. Think big. Some of you need to change your focus and stop thinking little and think big. Think big for your life, for your family, for your finances, for your business, for your job, for your own joy and happiness. Think big for your church, for your ministry. Okay, for your relationships, for your marriage, think big, not just a few. He says, you go shut the door behind you and your son. This is just between you, your sons, and your God. Okay? And then pour it into all the vessels and set aside the full ones. So she went from him, shut the door behind her and her sons who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another vessel, so the oil ceased. I got to come back to this little part right here in just a moment because I want to finish the story, then I want to come back and say something. And then, verse 7, then she came and told the man of God, Elisha, and he said to her, go sell the oil and what? Pay off your debts. And then you and your sons live off the rest. It's called the Lord's release. Are you in debt? What's your need? What do you need? What do you want God to do for you? Just like Elisha said, what should I do for you? And then the second question, what do you have? God can use whatever you have, even if it all is one little jar of oil, to get you out of the problem you're in. He can take one little boy's lunch and feed the multitudes. Stop limiting God. See, and it shouldn't. When did the flow of oil stop? When there was no more vessels? God's power is not limitless. God is not the one who sets the limit on his power. God is not the one who sets limits to his kingdom. No, he gave you the keys. And I'm going to have a whole series on this later on this year, but you have the keys of the kingdom. You have the keys to lock and unlock things in the kingdom of God. God gave those to you. Not because you earned it, not because you deserve it, but because of his great, amazing grace. The keys of the kingdom, including the treasury, or whatever else you need, the infirmity, whatever you need it. God, give you the keys to loose and unloose things and bind things. Some things need to be bound. Some things need to be loose. They need to be released. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you to release some things, to set the captives free. Some of you need to. You've been bounding people who don't need to be bound. You need to loose them. I know they hurt you. I know they've wronged you. But it's time to release them so you can be blessed. You're hurting yourself by holding back. See, if you're holding back, you yourself don't have a revelation of God's release. Freely give. Freely give. Freely you receive, freely give. Because when you give, there's more where it comes from. Trust God. Release people. Release one another. Some of you need to release people financially. I mean, the whole passage in Deuteronomy 15, maybe they weren't even the ones who you were in debt to. But we need to bless one another. If you know people who are struggling, you bless them. And God will bless you. That's what I'm reading. What can you imagine? What are you believing God for? Because His goodness is limitless. Let's go to Luke 14. Luke 4. Luke chapter 4. I have 10 more minutes. I don't know if I'll get done with this. Actually, I think I'm going to leave this. I know I got 10 minutes left. I just don't think I have time for this. So I'm going to save this part for next week. Because it's a pretty lengthy part. But let me just go back here real quick. It's right here, so this will be a good spot. At the end of every 7 years, you shall grant a release of debts, and this is the form of the release. Every creditor who has lent anything to his neighbor shall release it, and he shall not require it. His neighbor or his brother, because it is called the Lord's release. I don't know if you got anything out of this morning. I've never taught on something like this before. But it's just been very strong in my heart. You know, some of you have been holding on to the things, debt, sorrow, depression, different things. It's time to release. It's time to get free. It's time to get healed. It's time to be free. It's time to get free. Freedom is here. Jesus is here. And it's time for you to experience the Lord's release. And it's time for you to release others. Because some of you, you're not going to experience the blessing that comes with the Lord's release until you let some things go. And I don't say that to hurt you. I don't say that. That's not religion to me. It's called the gospel. It goes back to, it keeps coming to my mind, the parable of the unmerciful servant. God has released, has set us free from so many things. We need to set some people free. Let it go. It might be financial. It might be emotional. It might be deep. And some of you have been hurt to the max. I know what some of that stuff is like. Maybe not what you've gone through, but I have had my own pains. And many times I've had to let it go. But it's a blessing. There is a supernatural blessing that is attached to the Lord's release. You might not believe me, but I'm going to believe the Word of God. I'm going to trust the Word of God. For all Scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. So a man of God might be fully equipped for every good work. Because some of you are thinking this is Old Testament. All Scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the Word of God, that the man of God might, man or woman of God might be duly equipped for every good work. And when Paul penned those words and he says all Scripture, the New Testament hadn't been written yet. He was writing his last epistle, 2 Timothy, when he wrote those words. Don't let religion get in your way from interpreting the Word of God, because God will honor His Word above His name. You know, I'm just pausing here because I got some extra time. I'm able to slow this thing down. But some of you, I'm just pausing and going slow because some of you need to let this sink in. I don't know what it is. You and the Lord knows what it is. But But there's people, there's things that you need to, something you need to forgive yourself. You need to let it go. It's called the Lord's release. It's Jubilee. This is a picture of Jubilee. But it's more frequent. You don't have to wait 50 years. You don't have to think there's still more, four more decades before we get to Jubilee. No. And some of you that are thinking, well, there's three more years till the Lord's release. We're in a new covenant. We're in a better covenant. Today is the day of salvation. Don't put off tomorrow what you can do today. It's time to set some people free. There should be joy in the house of God. Some of you, you've been bound like this woman 18 years, maybe even five times that much. It's time for you to experience the Lord's release and be loose from your infirmity, be loose from your debt. Amen and amen. God bless you guys. You guys have a great week. We'll talk to you next week. Amen.